Good morning. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is the morning show, Garden Life Edition, and my name is Julie Perchinsky, here in the studio with Susie Prez. Good morning, Susie.
Good morning, Julie. It's really nice to be back. It's been about 4 weeks since I've been here, and thanks for having me part of your show today.
Yes, I appreciate the help. Today, our other guest in the studio live is Dig Krismer. Good morning to you, Dig.
Good morning, Julie. Good morning, Susie. Nice to see you both.
Good to see you. It was great meeting you after we had never met before, which is crazy.
It's weird, but I love that. It's nice to make new friends after being in the same town forever.
So who is Dig Krismer, Julie?
Well, Dig Krismer is with Innovia, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But first, Susie, how about a little weather?
Well, this is going to be fun because I never get to say freezing fog, but it's all across the board here. So currently it's 36 degrees from the National Weather Service. High today, partly sunny, 44 degrees of a high. Perfect weather for all the work we have in front of us, right?
That's right.
And tonight we have a low of 24. Patchy cloudy, then patchy freezing fog. That's what they're saying. And Wednesday, we have a high of 42, partly sunny, freezing fog in the morning. And Wednesday night, a low of 22. Same thing, freezing fog and patchy fog. So your guess is as good as mine what that means, but we're going to get to have it.
That's great. I like the fog in the fall. You know, it's coming off the water and coming down from the mountains. It's a beautiful time of year. And it's so bright out this morning, you know, being an hour later. Anyway, so let's go on to our show. This morning, our show is entitled Act Locally. So in case you missed it, today is also Election Day, if you just came out from under a rock. And don't forget to vote. We'll remind everybody of that. But I was thinking, when I was thinking of the show, is how unsettled we all are, how nervous we all are. And I just remembered when I become overwhelmed and feel powerless, I remember this mantra, think globally, but act locally. And that's kind of a gist of the Garden Life Show, is your local garden.
And when you're talking about voting, in local elections count here, and it really matters because these people represent you on the county and the city and the
state
level.
Yes.
So those are real important. So get out and vote because your vote counts.
That's right. And that moves us right into our guest today. Is what better way to act locally than to become involved with our area's nonprofit service clubs, all doing good work to build our community. And our guest is the Rural Engagement Officer for the North Region of Innovia, a company whose mission states, we partner with people who want to improve their communities and make the world better. It's my pleasure to introduce Dig Krismer again.
Well, thank you. That was great. I like that.
Well, thank you for coming in. We appreciate having you.
No, it's my pleasure to be here.
Yeah. Let's start with you introducing yourself and your work with Innovia.
You got it.
Great.
So, I have lived in Sandpoint for 13 years, proud parent of kids who've gone through the public school system as well as a year at Waldorf, which was wonderful for my youngest daughter. She had a great time there, and that was a huge impact on her. So very, very appreciative of that year. I worked on the mountain for a long time and then shifted into my role with Innovia, which is the community foundation for the region. So for those of you who may not know what a community foundation does, basically the gist of it is connecting people who care with causes that matter. So if there's someone in our community that's interested in supporting a nonprofit, they can work through a community foundation like Innovia in setting up charitable funds and figuring out how to use different ways, different assets to be charitable and keep it local, which is a big focus of what we do. Community foundations are geographically designed or designated, sorry. So for example, Innovia, we serve the 20 counties that surround Spokane. The foundation started in 1974 by a fabulous group of women. It's always the women who got together and wanted to make a difference for Expo 74 in Spokane and then continued that good work. And then that good work continued to spread And as we know, we're, you know, kind of dependent on Spokane in terms of as our largest metro region. So the foundation saw the need to really make sure the work was extending into the rural communities around Spokane. And that's where that happened. Then about 2 years ago, the foundation realized that in order to really help people in community, you have to listen and hear what's happening in community. And people don't want somebody from Spokane showing up and being like, so...
I think you should do this.
So the goal with the roles, the rural engagement roles, myself and my colleagues, one is based in Kootenai County and she handles Kootenai, Benoit, Shoshone, and Latah County. And then our other colleague who's based in Clarkston, Washington, and he handles nine of the other counties in Idaho and other counties in the northeast, southern part of the northeast Washington region. So a lot of good work happening for the three of us being able to get in community and ask questions. Wow. What's going on? What do you need? How can we help you? What's really your biggest issue? Because an issue that might be affecting Sandpoint could also be affecting a different community, but how it's affecting those communities will be different. So housing may be an issue regionally, but how it's impacting, say, Sandpoint versus Priest River is very different. So it's really important for us to listen.
And it sounds like, and then coming up with innovative, Innovia.
Ta-da!
solutions, and then sharing the ones that really work.
Yeah.
Because you're working for a common good.
Yeah, absolutely. And part of that engagement work, which I just adore, is that I always joke that like Tinker Toys when we were little, you had the big wooden spoke and like you'd stick the sticks in it and then connect it to the other wooden spokes. The next thing you know, you had some weird structure. I like to think that I'm a little wooden spoke. And so I learned something and it's like a stick sticking out of me. And then I learn something else and I have another stick sticking out of me. And then I talk to somebody else and they need this. And I'm like, wait, you two should talk. And connecting those pieces or those dots, as it were, so that people can help each other. And I love that. It really gives me such great joy. And it's such an honor to be able to help people have a light bulb moment or connect over something and find answers. It's great.
I was thinking about nonprofits or these service clubs, and it seems like it's friend plus friend equals community.
Yeah.
And then that community has a cause or a purpose, and then it becomes a club.
I know in our area there's quite a few service organizations, and it seems like they are very supportive of each other. There's not a lot of competition for the $20 donations kind of thing.
But here's the thing. I mean, I think, yes, they are our nonprofit community in Sandpoint, in Bonner County, because there's some amazing organizations over on the west side of the county who are doing some incredible work right now. They're all collaborative. They all want to figure out how to work together, because that's the secret sauce to making a community continue to exist and thrive, is when you collaborate. And also, you know, dispelling that myth that there's only $20 that's going to go out. That's not necessarily the case. And if it is the case, then knowing that this $20 may not fit what I need right now, but my partner organization over here is going to be able to really benefit from that. And having those conversations has been really good. You know, us as if you look at people as individual donors, as being a charitable person, I may have one or two passionate causes in my life, and people don't typically just focus on one. They're, you know, they love animals and they're concerned about domestic violence, or, you know, we really want to see the schools. You know, I want to support PAFE because my kids were in the public schools, but I also, you know, coach for the lacrosse team. So I'd like to contribute there as well. So I don't think people are singular givers. I think we find a lot of things and that's beneficial for everybody.
For sure.
Yeah.
And how many groups are there in Sandpoint? How many nonprofits do we have?
That is a great question. So the research has shown lately in a 2022 study from the Idaho Nonprofit Center, and Katie Bogalke, who's the ED over at the Envision Center. If you haven't met Katie, she's fantastic, and they're doing such good work over there. She put together this fantastic study, and there's 359 nonprofits in Sandpoint.
Oh, my
gosh. 359. I don't know that all 359 are as active or as engaged as we'd love them to be, or partnering as we'd love them. But that's a lot of people who at least are like, hey, I want to help. And I think the bottom line is we need to have more open conversation about who's doing what and how can we partner together. Because it tends to be a lot of the same people who are doing a lot of the same work, and we're tired.
Right. And the overlap. It's
exactly.
all, it's
exactly.
all. man does not stand alone.
No,
that's
not
for
at
sure.
All, not at all.
Well, I know even in the Garden Life show, we have the Master Gardeners. We have the Kinnick Plant Society. Yeah. We have, who else do we have? Oh, Farmers Market. There's a big nonprofit in town. So what other types of nonprofits are in the area?
You name it.
You name
it. So health and wellness, there's, you know, quality of life, there's economic development, there's education, nonprofits pop up in every aspect of our lives here.
There's community radio.
I've heard of them.
Have you?
Yes, they're amazing.
We are a service organization, nonprofit, commercial-free, independent radio
station. Yeah, which is, again, like Julie and I were talking about this early this morning before the show started. Stop and think, in any given day, as you live in Bonner County, how your life is touched by a nonprofit. So, for example, in my world, I'm going to go for a walk in Pine Street Woods with my dog. Well, thank you, KLT, for making that happen. I have the opportunity to coach sports and be involved in Nordic skiing. Thank you for that. That's amazing. I also know that my good friends are working really hard over at the food bank to make sure that other members of our community have something to eat. So thank you for doing that. My dog needs to get microchipped, and I know that the animal shelter is going to, you know, BTAA is going to provide a microchip clinic soon. Thank you, because I want to do that. So there are all these, and that's just a short example. You know, you could go walk the Bay Trail. It's the Friends of the Ponderé Bay Trail who made that happen. So we're listening to the radio. You are listening to a nonprofit right now. So there's such an overlap in everything that we do. The nonprofits are supporting our quality of life in our communities. And stop and think about it. It's impressive.
It
it's
is really impressive. Do you think nonprofits have changed in the last years?
I think what's been really fascinating for the nonprofit community, and Susie can attest to this too, is we have an ED group, an executive director group, that gets together once a month. And we jokingly call it therapy, because the EDs, you know, they're doing a lot of hard work, and it's nice to have a place to talk about it all. What we've seen is that the organizations are getting really savvy at understanding how to effectively attack the mission in front of them, and how to collaborate and work together to be more strategic as a nonprofit community. So I think in that sense, they are getting wiser and stronger. And we have a couple of really dynamic executive directors in our community who are unbelievably kind and willing to mentor and share with other newer nonprofit leaders who are just as motivated to be as successful as they are. And that collaboration and that mentorship is just, it makes my heart sing, because that's how you build community, is person to person and conversation. It's fantastic. And I'm so proud of that group. All of you EDs out there, you're amazing. And thank you for all you do, because I don't know what our lives would look like without it.
One of the things I noticed from that going to that group is really listening to each other, the common threads of challenges, and then the amazing common threads of solutions.
Yeah.
Shared.
And the great thing, too, about that group, it's across all of the different sectors of the nonprofit community. It isn't just your outdoor recreation, you know, health and wellness organizations. We've got your human service organizations. We have faith-based organizations. We have arts and culture organizations. So to me, that's where those real conversations are happening, that, you know, we have a faith-based group on one hand who's trying to solve some issues, and then we've got an arts and culture group on another hand trying to solve the same issues. You know, it may not be the same mission, but the same things that are affecting, like, we need volunteers to help with an event. How are you encouraging the public to get involved? And both organizations are struggling with that same piece, even though their missions may be very, very different. So we are more alike than we're different. And that's what really we need to focus on as a community.
And coming face to face, you realize that.
Yes.
You realize you're more alike.
Yeah. And then you know each other.
Right.
And then you say hi to each other in the grocery store.
It's and amazing. You get inspired from each other
yeah.
to keep going, because it matters.
Yeah,
you
absolutely. Absolutely.
So many nonprofits are generous in allowing other nonprofits to their events. You know, you think of the farmers market. Every week there was another nonprofit that was there with a bake sale.
Right.
And then we were at the last farmers market, and they share that space with the rest of the nonprofits in town. And, and so many, and I know you have something coming up a little bit later that we'll talk about at the end, but
I like to think of that as like the tomatoes and the marigolds in the garden, to kind of bring it back to a gardening show. But like, you know, years ago, someone taught me that, okay, when you plant your tomatoes, put some marigolds next to them because it's going to help, you know, get rid of the bugs or whatever. I'm a terrible gardener, FYI. Terrible, terrible gardener. But I was amazed that it worked. I was like, oh, yeah, look at that. And who, I wouldn't have, you know, as an outside gardener, that sounds really silly, but yeah, novice gardener, like that didn't make, I didn't understand that connection. But then seeing an action and how that really did benefit both plants was fantastic. And like, that's the analogy I kind of use for this, is that if you plant the marigolds next to the tomatoes, it's mutually beneficial.
Yes.
And things are going to grow.
Right.
And it's amazing.
Neither one is taking anything from the other.
Correct.
And businesses, we can't forget the role of businesses in town that they play for the nonprofits. A lot of them have their own nonprofits that they support.
Yeah, well, and that's one of the pieces that we're really focusing on, is that focusing local. And so we have the local business community is, again, such a huge, huge supporter of all that we do in terms of like nonprofit donations and supporting at events, being charitable and helping with scholarships and grant making and, you know, you name it. So we as a community, not just as a nonprofit community, but as a whole, like if we can keep all of our spending here and really support those local businesses, Brent Baker from the Economic Development Group talks about it a lot, that if you spend a dollar, you know, down at Matchwood and buy your beer right in there, then you're supporting that local business. If you go over to OE and you buy your outdoor gear there rather than buying it online, you're supporting that local business. And so really being conscious about how we support local, making those really good decisions, that this is for our local community. And I think he talks about, you know, a dollar spent in communities will get spent six times, whereas a dollar spent on Amazon is gone. So I love that. And I like to think that also in terms of being charitable with our local nonprofits. Like, you can donate to national nonprofits who do great work, but if you donate locally to a local nonprofit, you're really supporting this local economy and our local citizens and your neighbors and your friends. And that's amazing.
Right.
And speaking of that, here at KRFY, our community radio station, we are supported by our underwriters. It's one of the places that we get support, our listener supporters also. But our business community does support this nonprofit, and also other service organizations also are part of our underwriting team.
Yeah.
And it's crucial. And so it stays here.
Yeah.
We support them, they support us, and it's a good mix.
Yeah, it's a great mix. The Community Foundation, again, our big focus is, you know, act locally, and how can you really make an impact in your community so that your community can thrive?
That's right. It's the whole community is involved in it, mm-hmm. for
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
That's right.
And just on that great note, we do want to give a shout out to our local underwriters that are businesses, because, you know, there's not a, you know, the money is the money pot, but they see the value in having a community radio station here in North Idaho, and they step up.
Yeah.
So we are grateful and very thankful.
Very thankful. We've got, our businesses are involved as much as the individuals are, for sure. So let's go on. Let's talk about what you have coming up. You have a little pop-up event happening.
Well, it depends on who you talk to. If you talk to Clay and Reno Hutchins from the Carousel of Smiles, it's not a little project. But Clay and Reno are very involved with Carousel of Smiles, and which is the organization, nonprofit organization, who is restoring the carousel and repainting all the ponies. And we just moved them they just moved them, and I got the honor of being able to stand next to a pony and not drop it. I was very nervous because didn't want all that hard work to be damaged by me. But they moved into their new home over in the old Bazaar building. And so it's really been lovely. And they're going to have an opportunity at the end of November, November 23rd, which is Saturday, the 23rd, to put the carousel together so that community can come and see the carousel. And I'm thrilled, because the last time they did it, was when they first got here, they put the herd up, as they call it, so that everybody can kind of see it. Well, now the ponies have been painted. I think they're like over 80% finished with the project. Clay, I'm sorry if I'm getting it wrong. I apologize. But it'll be spectacular to see it all together at the fairgrounds. In conjunction with that, Clay and Reno both have been wonderful in the sense that that's a huge space. And the carousel is an amazing draw, but why not invite the nonprofit community to come and be there as well and participate in this nonprofit fun fair, which will happen on the 23rd from 10 to 4. And what'll happen is we've invited all of the nonprofits in the community. If they're interested in having a table or a booth, let me know, reach out to me and I'll just get you on the list. There's no charge for the nonprofits to have a table there, and we want to be available and open to the public. And we're asking that the nonprofits, you know, I was joking with someone about maybe it's like a petting zoo. Like, what can you share with the public about your organization? And so POP is going to be there with a little skills course. The Better Together Animal Alliance will have a microchip and vaccine clinic going on at the same time in the fairgrounds. And then we'll also have, there'll be some food trucks and a coffee truck and, you know, and all these different organizations will be there to share their story of what they're doing. And this, and KRFY should be there for sure. I think you should bring a microphone and let people practice being a DJ. But the cool thing about this too is this kind of kicks off a larger goal. The group of nonprofits that have been working together wants to help really channel this, you know, live, think locally, thrive, give locally. And so the this fun fair event in collaboration with the Carousel of Smiles, we also want to introduce the concept of an alternative giving market so that I can buy a donation on Susie's behalf. I'm going to give $50 to KRFY for Christmas, and then KRFY would give her like a little thank you card or something that I could give to Susie as a Christmas present saying, hey, this is what I got you, rather than just stuff, I gave you a donation. And so I know some of the other organizations are thinking of little, they call them tchotchke now. I used to call them swag. But anyway, little trinkets and so forth to give as a donation gift that you can have as a tangible offering, but knowing that your gift of that donation will go so much further. So that's kind of something we're going to soft launch this year. And then in the spring, April 14th to 18th, we're putting together a 7B Lives and Gives campaign. And this is really the Idaho Gives campaign, which is run through the Idaho Community Foundation every year, is a wonderful fundraiser, and it does a huge amount of good for the entire state. And we just would like to have a little couple of days where it's targeted specifically here before that event. So on the 14th, the 18th of April, really focusing on, you know, live, give locally, focus on local businesses, focus on local nonprofits, and then we'll culminate that with a community party on the 18th at Matchwood. And we're really looking forward to, again, let's just celebrate everything that we love about 7B, from Priest River all the way through Sandpoint, up and around Clark Fork, you name it. We need to celebrate the entire county and community. So that's what we're looking forward to do.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, I got the slogan wrong. Katie Cox and Katie Bogalke are going to yell at me because we just came up with the other day and it's like 7B lives, 7B gives, live, give 7B. There it is. Live, give 7B is what we're going to be shooting
for. Oh,
well,
that's great.
I finally got it. I haven't had enough coffee yet this morning.
Give 7B. I got to write that down. I was thinking gift 7B when
it's
you were talking about
idea.
Yes,
yeah.
That idea that so many of our nonprofit underwriters, they give, someone gives a gift of a nonprofit contract with us as a gift to that nonprofit. So they get publication and we get supported as well. Yes.
See, I love that. That's a good synergy that way. So yeah, and there'll be more information to come about the alternative giving market as well as the Live Give 7B campaign as we get more into that. So just kind of put that out there. But please come see all of us on the 23rd of November at the fairgrounds. We're really looking forward to this opportunity to share who's in your neighborhood. Who are the people in your neighborhood? Who, you know, who's doing the hard work? Who's sharing and caring? I think Creations is planning to come as well and set up an art table for the kids. And, you know, it should just be a wonderful day of community. And we get to see the carousel. So I think it'll be great.
And right before Thanksgiving.
Right before Thanksgiving.
Yes. So. And today as Election Day, we were talking about how many blessings that we have had in our lives and how fortunate we've been and how lucky we are. And we should spread that out.
Absolutely. We are very blessed to live in this amazingly beautiful, wonderful place.
That's right.
And we have some wonderful people who care very deeply about this community. And we need to celebrate that. We need to stop trying to find ways to fight against each other. We need to really find ways to celebrate the good things that are happening all across the entire community. And that's what we should focus on, in my humble little opinion.
Your support group really brings different people together, and it's the face-to-face contact that makes all the difference.
It really is such a... I love that I've had the opportunity to participate with that group. It was a culmination of ideas I heard from different nonprofit directors, like, oh God, I just would like to be able to talk to people or get together. But they, you know, our nonprofit leaders are so busy doing that heavy lifting that to get them to put another meeting on their schedule was hard for them to organize or want to do. But when it was like, hey, I got this for you, just show up on a Friday. And Katie Bogalke at the Envision Center has the perfect space for it. And so she's been a tremendous co-host. So we've been able to be there. I show up with snacks and Katie has a coffee machine, and then everybody can come in and just talk. And we try to bring in speakers for the executive directors to talk about different, you know, we had Lisa Gerber come in, talk about storytelling. The Idaho Nonprofit Center did a bit on what they can provide to community. Those are just two examples of the different things that we've done to try and really help our nonprofit leaders continue to succeed with what they're doing. And then we share in that. We share in those successes. You know, we like to keep what happens in that group stays in that group, because it's a good private space, safe space. But, you know, we share successes. We share some failures. We've had some times where EDs have been really frustrated and needed just a good collaboration. I'm like, okay, you got this, regardless of this being what you think is a failure. Here's what was good about it, or here's what you can move forward with. And I think that's been super beneficial. So,
well, I was going to those. I'm going to start back up.
And we've missed you.
Date?
Yeah.
Thanks. What is the date again? It's
the second Friday of every month. And it's for executive directors of 501c3 organizations in Bonner County. If you are not an executive director, but you're interested in, you know, doing some other kind of nonprofit get together, let me know. And sure. we can find room for some other organization. But this is really directed toward the EDs to kind of provide that support for them. There is another group that meets over in Priest River on the second Tuesday of every month. And that is just a general nonprofit get together for the nonprofit organizations in the west side of the county. Because right now, there's so much going on in Priest River and also Newport, because Newport kind of filters in with us as well, and Priest Lake. And the nonprofits over there are doing some incredibly good work. Kudos to the Priest River Chamber. Kudos to the Newport Priest River Rotary Club. Kudos to the Priest River Forest Connections Group. Oh my gosh, the Newport Creative Alliance. And they're just some wonderful people doing really good work in those communities as well. And I love being able to help them get together and collaborate. So, yeah.
So this seems like the time to tell us how to contact you. We haven't heard that yet.
Yeah. well, if you knew me from my previous life and you still have my phone number, then this hasn't changed, so feel free to text or call me. The best way to reach me, though, is email, which is dchrismer, and that's C-H-R-I-S, M as in Mary, E-R, at Innovia, Innovia.org. And if you can't remember that, just you can head to the Innovia website, Innovia.org, and you can find me and contact me that way too. Or reach out to your local ED of one of your local nonprofits that you participate with, and they can get you my contact information as well. So, yeah.
Well, great.
Yeah.
Great.
It's been fun.
Well, we can't finish without telling everybody about our mutual contact with KRFY. This is Will's mother, everyone. Will Clark, who was our CP at 3, fantastic broadcaster. And this is his mom.
I am his mom. Yeah. I know he told me I wasn't allowed to go on the radio much when he was doing the show, because this was his gig. This was his world. Yeah. So he was very proud. And we're so grateful, because the CP at 3 program really was amazing for Will. And I'm speaking on his behalf. He can yell at me later. But it really helped him, you know, learned so much about broadcasting and communication and music and, you know, creating his playlists. And then the beautiful thing of him engaging in community and people being like, are you the guy that's on the radio? And he's like, I am. And having those conversations. And it just really helped him grow in such a wonderful way. So we are, I'm really grateful for that.
A little anecdotal information. When he first came to sort of apply, and CPAT3 stands for the Cedar Post. It's the high school journalism program with teacher Will Love.
Right.
And Will is very involved. He's also a KRFY broadcaster when he's not busy coaching and teaching.
Right.
But Will Clark came up, your son, and into my office, and I said, so tell me about you. And he says, I like to talk.
But the other he comes by it naturally.
Yeah. He says, I'm an Akalaka.
Yeah, Akadeka.
Academic
decathlon. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it turns out that people were calling us and emailing and texting saying, I love the music this kid is playing. And they even listen again on Friday night. So that show broadcasts on Thursday at 3.
Right.
We have new kids in
who
there.
Who are great.
Yeah, they're great too. Paul Kent and another fellow. So we get to hear the voice of our students, which is essential. It is part of our mission. And that's the one thing that the ED Club really helped me with is, what is your mission?
Right.
Get clear on that. Bring it to the surface and use that to kind of the direction you're going.
Absolutely.
So, but yeah, back to Will Clark. What a kid. What
He's
a great,
great.
Guy.
I like to call him the legendary Will
the
Clark.
The legendary Will Clark. He would like you to call him that as well, too. Yeah. Sometimes I'm not sure where he came from.
So if by chance you're listening to us, Will Clark, out there in Chicago, Illinois, thank you so much for the service of 2 years that you gave to our community.
Yeah, that was great. Thanks for loving him. That makes me happy, too.
Okay, let's talk about the dates one more time.
Sure.
This November with the Carousel Group.
Yep.
The dates there.
November 23rd. Saturday the 23rd from 10 to 4. And again, it's free and open to the public. You can just stop by, you know, bring the family, come in, see the at the fairgrounds. Yes, at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. We're really looking forward to seeing you all. And I am really excited for Clay and Reno and every single person who's been involved with the Carousel of Smiles. They had an incredible volunteer group who just knocked it out of the park. If you haven't seen those ponies, I can't garden or paint to save my life. And I am just so in awe of the delicate, beautiful job that they've done on this carousel. And the coolest thing for me visiting the carousel group is, you know, the collection of folks that were coming together to paint the ponies. Sometimes I was like, how on earth are these people in the same room? I never would have thought that they would have been interested in doing the same kind of thing. But there's the power of a nonprofit.
That's right.
The power of an art project bringing community together and creating something that is fantastic and will last. And Clay and Reno have some wonderful ideas on how to make it a continuing art project and really continue to share the history of the region and showcase local artists. So I encourage everyone, come to the nonprofit fair with the Carousel Smiles on the 23rd. Stop in, talk to Clay and Reno, learn more about the carousel and what they have planned for the future. And at the same time, stop and meet. Right now we have about 26 nonprofits who are signed up to be there. 27, now that I put KRFY on the list, that'll be there in the building to meet and talk to and learn about. And if you're interested in volunteering with an organization or you want to understand more about their mission, this is a great time to do that. And again, if you're a nonprofit who hasn't had the chance to let me know that you want to be involved at that fair, please just send me an email. You're on the list. There's plenty of space for everybody. We want all voices in the room. Anyone who serves community, we would love to have you as part of this nonprofit fair. So just let me know.
Coming up in November. And then April is the week.
Correct. And so then April 14th to 18th will be the Live Give 7B campaign, which more to come on that one. We're
okay.
Still kind of getting that dialed. But again, if you have any questions, you can reach out to me about what that'll look like. We're really hoping to spread that far and wide and get our mayors to make proclamations and get some signs and really celebrate local businesses and local nonprofits during that week and then celebrate that we're an awesome county.
That's right. That's and a party at the end.
And a party at the end.
At Matchwood.
At Matchwood.
One of the Hearts.
They're the best.
Yes.
They really are.
And
the heartbeat.
And a valued KRFY underwriter.
Yeah.
They're Matchwood.
Yeah. Fantastic organization.
We
fantastic
are so brewery. Lucky. Our underwriters are just behind
us
100%.
Your list over here is amazing. I'm pretty impressed with this. I mean, because to your point earlier, it's their list of underwriters is here on the wall. And it for me, it's really spectacular because it is a mix of nonprofit and local businesses and local events and organizations who really are the backbone of every corner of our lives here. And so a huge, I would read that whole list. It's pretty long and amazing, but you've got a great mix there. And it's not just one business or one church or one organization. It's fantastic.
And the list is on our website at krfy.org.
That's right.
That's fantastic.
You can see who supports us there.
And you can support them and say thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, it goes around.
It does go around.
It goes around. It really, really
comes
does.
Around, goes around.
It sure does. It sure does.
So to our top point, it's think globally, but act locally. We've given you a lot of actions out there, dear listeners, a lot of action ideas and ways to meet up with these nonprofits and ways to contact DIG if you're a nonprofit or a way to bring the action to our community to improve it.
Yeah, and I'll also put this out there. You know, we can't do any of this work without charitable donors who think locally in such wonderful ways and give such amazing gifts of their resources, time and money to support the nonprofit work. And if there are people in the community who are like, yeah, I want to support, but I don't know how to do that. Or, this is part of the work that I do for Inovia is really helping people understand that donations don't have to come in cash. We live in a community that appreciated assets like real estate is really, changed a lot of our thinking that, oh my gosh, all of a sudden I have this piece of property that's worth so much and I don't know what I'm going to do with it. So that's part of what the Community Foundation also does is that we help people think differently about charitable giving. So if you as a donor or you're thinking about, hey, I've got these required minimum distributions coming up and I'm not sure I know what to do with those, feel free to reach out with me. I have some really great ideas. and then we can, talk with donors about what they're interested in supporting and how they can get involved and how they can donate and make impact on a local scale. We also have a Bonner Boundary Forever Fund at the foundation that supports local causes only in Bonner and Boundary County. And you can make a donation into that fund and then we grant those dollars only to nonprofits in Bonner and Boundary County. And I have a leadership council that's made up of some wonderful people here in our community to help, make sure that we're on the right track and that the needs that we're seeing aren't just my need, what I think might be important, but what really is important to the entire community. So, if you're a listener and you're like, yeah, I don't know what to do with this weird coin collection, or I have this piece of property that nobody, I don't know what to do with, or I've got, an insurance beneficiary that my kids don't want because they might be making more than you because that happens and that's going to happen in my case. There's ways that we can turn those types of thing into charitable donations for our local organizations. And I love to help with that. So,
and that spreads out. And
absolutely.
Just speaking about required minimum distributions, we received a very nice check yesterday from someone who's a listener and said, I love the station.
And we love that. We love them. That's
perfect.
Great.
And it's a first-time donor, too.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic. And again, being creative with how you can support your organizations is just so – there's so much more that you can do that you don't know unless we really talk about it. And we need to normalize talking about estate planning and charitable giving because when we leave this planet, we can't take it with us. So what's going to happen to it? Are you going to leave it to your family? Are you going to leave it to some to your community that's helped you? In my case, I'm a huge fan of Youth Exchange. I think that's a phenomenal program. So I've already told my kids, I'm like, I'm leaving some of it to a youth program because getting you people out of here was great. But again, it's just thinking of different ways to talk about donating and being charitable, both in our lifetimes and after. What kind of legacy do we want to leave? What kind of impact has my community had on me? And what kind of impact can I leave back with my community who who has loved us and supported us for the 13 years that we've been here and made my kids, that wonderful kid, Will Clark, he's a product of Sandpoint. Mm-hmm. So how do we give that back for that wonderful human being? So,
and Innovia takes all the parts of these groups and businesses and kind of melds them together.
We try.
in grants, in foundations, yeah. In organization.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Nonprofit stewardship, donor development, donor stewardship, working with corporate partners in terms of how they want to be charitable locally. We really love to support them with those initiatives as well. And then we partner, like ICF is another fantastic community foundation. We are lucky to have two in this region. ICF covers the entire state of Idaho. They do great work in Sandpoint. And contrary to popular opinion, it's awesome. If you're a nonprofit organization and you can get support from donors through ICF or through donors from Innovia, yay! Yes.
Yes.
This is wonderful work. And so please reach out to both community foundations and see how we can help you and make sure that we're, you know, supporting the community as best we can, both as donors and as nonprofits. And I am here in Sandpoint. So if you want to have a cup of coffee or talk about it, you know, by all means, reach out and happy to have those conversations.
More coffee.
I love coffee. I know.
I think it's important information that you brought. It's enlightening, and the connectivity of our community is essential. We live in paradise, by the way. We all know that, but we can make it, you know, for the human being in this area better.
Absolutely.
Through the work we do. And this interview today with all the valuable information, it will be on our website as a podcast, as all of our interviews are, at our website at krfy.org a little bit later in the day. So
that's great.
Hear it again if you didn't hear it all.
Yeah.
So lots of ways to take action in our community. And I have to really thank you, Dig, for coming in and just lifting us all up on this nerve-wracking day and a day that culminates in we don't know what.
Sure.
So
yeah,
we're.
And here's my challenge to everybody, myself included today, is like, as you're walking around town, say hi to somebody. Just, and you know, if there's a nonprofit that you've been thinking of that you wanted to support, today's a great day to drop them a donation. If there's someone who's made a difference for you in community, drop them a text or a phone call. Like, today's a great day to, let's connect locally.
Yes.
So if there's someone that you know has made an impact on your life in a good way here in our community, if it's your pastor at the church, if it's the lunch lady who helped feed your kids at Washington, just let them know. Mm-hmm. Let them know. Reach out and tell them how much they're appreciated, because
right.
A lot of things may feel really out of control for us on different scales. So what can we control? We can control how we say thank you and how we can feel gratitude and how we can support each other in this community. And that, like, that, we are so lucky. We are so lucky.
We are.
So.
And thank you so much for sharing your energy and your love and support. And we
it's
appreciate
an honor.
Everything you do as well.
Thank you.
So let Dig know how great she is.
And
and
yeah,
what great. She's done. She is. And Susie, too, you're great.
Yeah.
Well, we're all gatekeepers. We're gatekeepers to making this an amazing community that it is, and to continue and to explore new ways to connect.
Yep.
So
that's right. That's right.
Thank you so much.
I think we got maybe the perfect song to come up after this.
Okay.
This little get-together, Susie.
Are we ready for it?
Are
you ready?
Let's do this.
Okay, this is John Prine, My Darling Hometown.
Oh.
I know. Here we go. And thanks again, Dig.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.